us to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The interesting passage here, we're going to talk about the veils that are in the Bible tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And if you'll read responsibly with me, the Bible says, "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished.
But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ.
But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts.
Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away.
Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
But we will, with no face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord."
Now, throughout this text, the apostle talks about veils in the text. That word veil is a Greek word kalima. It means a curtain, a covering, something that separates so that you cannot see. In an ancient world, women wore veils as a sign of modesty. We don't have much modesty today in our world, but back then they had a lot of modesty. They covered up because they wanted to protect their beauty. But these veils that he's talking about in this text tonight, he's not talking about a veil that a woman would wear. He talks about three different veils. And each one of these veils has something to say about grace. So I want to start talking about, and I'm going to mention the three veils as we start out. There's the veil of Moses. There's the veil of the temple. And then there is the veil of unbelief. And we're going to see those three veils as we go through this text tonight. He started out talking about the veil that Moses had on his face. And in order to understand that, you need to understand a lot of background to this. I'm going to do what the preachers call chasing rabbits right now. So y'all just follow me because there's a point to it. You see, when God called Israel out of Egypt, God called Israel out of Egypt by grace. God did it by grace, not by law, but by grace. And it was through the blood of the Lamb that God saved them. God told them, he said, "I want you to take a lamb without spot and without blemish. And I want you to take that lamb and sacrifice it and put its blood on the doorpost and the top post of the house." And God said, "I want you to take that lamb and roast it and eat it quickly and eat it with shoes on your feet." Because God said, "Tomorrow we're going to take a trip and we're going to get out of this place." And they were supposed to do that. God told them, he said, "Look," he said, "the death angel is coming tonight. I'm coming tonight. And everywhere where I don't see the blood of the Lamb, death will come." Now you say, why in the world did God do all this? I tell you, the reason God did it was he was looking forward to the cross of Christ.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish. Amen. And when we receive him as Lord and Savior, what God does is he marks us with the blood of the Lamb. And because of that, we shall never die. Isn't that a wonderful promise?
Amen.
But he told him, he said, that blood has to be on the house. And so the next day, it was exactly as God said. God led them out of that place. And it says that God led them to a place called Sinai. Now God blessed them along the way.
Amen.
But they kept not listening to the grace of God. They were hard-headed about it. You know, you can preach grace over and over and over again, but a lot of times people don't want to listen to it. Well, they didn't listen to it. Finally, they get to Sinai. Now, the Bible tells us that when they got to Sinai, that God gave them the law. And it tells us in Romans 5:20 that the law entered so that the offense might abound. In other words, the law was something that points out that we are sinners. And the law convicts us of our sins.
Amen.
Well, as they got to Sinai, the Bible tells us in Exodus 20, that when they were at that mountain, that God spoke the Ten Commandments. And as I was studying this, and I think it's good to go back and read your Bible over and over and over again.
Amen.
Because I learn something all the time. If you read Exodus 20, you'll find out God spoke the Ten Commandments before he ever wrote the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
He spoke them out and he told the people what the Ten Commandments were going to be. Now, Moses heard the Ten Commandments. Well, what did the people hear? In Exodus 20, it tells us all the people witnessed thunderings and lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Now Moses heard the Ten Commandments. They heard rumbling and thunder, and they were scared to death. They stayed far away from God, but Moses went toward God. The Bible tells us that Moses told the people this. In Exodus 20, he said, "Do not fear. God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you so that you may not sin." God said, listen, Moses said, God's not angry at you, but God wants you to draw near to him. Now, the people drew far away from God, but Moses went toward God. The Bible says it was a dark cloud on the mountain that day, and Moses went toward that dark cloud. He wasn't scared of it because he saw God by grace.
Amen.
The people saw God by law, but he saw God by grace. And the God of grace always loves you. Now, I don't know if y'all know that or not, but God
Amen.
Does. He always loves you, and he cannot not love you. Amen.
Yeah.
God loves everyone. Moses went toward that cloud, not worrying about that cloud there. You know, the Bible tells us, 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him is no darkness.
Amen.
So if there's a cloud on Sinai, if God's in it, that's not really dark, is it? And the light without God is really dark. Wherever God is, there's always a blessing.
Amen.
The God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Moses went to that mountain that day, and he went up to receive the law. And the Bible tells us in Exodus 24, Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. He went up there and he got everything. The Ten Commandments on stones. He got everything. God told him what he wanted to do, but he didn't tell him how to build the temple yet. See, Moses had to make a second trip for that. But he told him all the judgments of God. He gave him all of God's law. And whenever Moses went up the mountain to receive those words from God, he went up by grace. Not by law, but by grace.
Amen.
He went up knowing God loved him and God cared for him. You see, God even gave the law in grace. Moses went up that mountain. The Bible tells us that whenever Moses came back down and told the people all the words, the people answered and said with one voice, "All the words which the Lord has said, we will do." We're going to keep the law perfectly. We're going to do exactly what God told us to do. Can I tell you something? That's nothing that we can't do that. We cannot. We can look at the law and use it as a guideline, but there is no way we have the power to keep all of the law because we have an old sin nature in us. So Moses told them this law. They said, "Oh, we can keep it all." And he said, "We're not going to have any problems." But guess what? Moses went back up in the mountain to receive the plan of the tabernacle. And while he was in the mountain receiving the plan of the tabernacle, the people made a golden calf.
Yep.
They melted their jewelry together. And they said, "This is the God we're going to follow now. We're going to follow this God, and we're going to do whatever this God tells us to do." Now, why in the world they made a golden cow, I don't have a clue. That doesn't make any sense anyway, does it? But it doesn't make sense to worship anybody besides God.
Amen.
However, so many people, they want to worship things besides God. And I think that's just stupid. I think we need to worship God. God needs to be number one in everything that we do. Well, the Bible tells us that Moses went back up into that mountain. After he came down the mountain and he chastised the people. And I won't go into all the details of what Moses did, but it was not good. And he punished the people and he made the people repent. When he went back up into the mountain the second time, God came before him. And I want you to listen to the words that God and Moses spoke. Moses, it says, "The Lord passed before Moses," this is in Exodus 34, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord God,'" listen to this, "'is merciful and gracious.'"
Amen.
God is merciful and gracious. Aren't y'all glad of that?
Amen.
God is merciful and gracious. If God was not merciful and gracious, I wouldn't be here preaching because I'd be a little pile of dust. And y'all would be here listening because y'all would be a little pile of dust. Amen. God is merciful and gracious. And when we fail God, God blesses us. God said, I am merciful. He said, the first part of my character is I'm merciful. And the second part is I'm gracious. And he said, I'm long-suffering. Thank God that God is long-suffering. Amen. And he says, I'm abounding in goodness and in truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. And as God said all this, Moses bowed down before the Lord, and the Bible says he worshiped God. And here, listen to the words of Moses. Moses said, if now I have found grace in your sight, my Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go amongst us, even though we're a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sins, and take us as your inheritance.
Amen.
He said, Lord, I want your grace. I want your grace. And God showered grace on Moses while he stood on that mountaintop. God poured grace out on him. God, Moses said, will you come amongst us? I know these people, they're hard-headed. But he said, Lord, if you would just walk with us. Moses said in another place, he said, Lord, if you'll not go with me, I don't want to go. I don't care how it is, I don't want to go. And the Bible tells us that God showered grace on him. Now, this gets to the point that I started out with. When Moses came back down off of that mountain, Exodus 34:29 tells us this. Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with God. And when Aaron and the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Oh, when you're under the grace of God, God makes your face shine.
Amen.
I love preaching to a household full of people filled with the grace of God.
Amen.
Because their faces look really good. But I'm going to tell you what, I preach to some horror shows on Sunday sometime. Amen. They have not experienced the grace of God. They come in here looking like an ape run wild. Their faces are all falling down and they're tore up and they're mean and they're hateful looking. But when the grace of God gets hold of you, it makes your face shine. Well, the people who were scared of God's grace that said, we're going to obey your law, God, but we don't want anything to do with you, but we're going to keep the law. These people were scared of what was on Moses' face. And Moses did something I don't think he should have done. The Bible doesn't say he sinned against God. But the Bible says that Moses put a veil on his face so he would not frighten the people. What does that veil represent? I believe in my heart that that represents compromise with the world. Compromise with the world. You know, so many Christians today, they won't talk about Jesus. They won't share Jesus. They won't. And they put a veil on their grace. And they cover up their faces because they say, but it'll scare the people off. Can I tell you this? They need to be scared.
Amen.
There's a hell that's dying this life. And those who leave this life without Jesus Christ are going to go into a shining place, but it's not going to be a happy place. It's going to be a burning place. It's going to be a hellish place. It's going to be a place where selfish people go. And people who do not have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who are not part of the Shekinah glory of God, who do not glorify God, they're going to leave this life and go into a place where there is no redemption. There is no hope. There is no second chance. You know, we don't hear that very much anymore nowadays. But the Bible says Jesus preached on hell, and Jesus said it's a place that if you knew your hand was going to cause you to go there, it would be better to cut your hand off than to go into that place.
That's right.
Beloved, Moses shielded his face because he didn't want the people to see the shine that's there. But the world needs to see the shine of grace on our faces. They need to see that. They need to see why we're smiling. They need to see our happiness as we go through places. You know, I'm happy all the time. Now, I don't mean I don't have my old me days. I do. But I'm happy all the time because even when I got the old me day, I know that this current pain is not going to last forever.
Amen.
And praise God, I've got a better place to be.
Amen.
And one day I'm going to be in that better place. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm not scared of what's coming next because my God is with me. And he said, I'll never forsake you and I'll never leave you. What a wonderful thing. That veil of Moses, that veil of compromise. Moses was a good man. He was a wonderful man. But it says, look there in verse number 13. He says, in fact, let me go back to verse 12 so we don't break the context. In verse number 12, 2 Corinthians 3:12. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. I try to be real clear when I share the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes I might muddle it up because I look at your faces and if they look confused, I back up and try again. But we use great plainness of speech. But look what he says in verse 13. And not as Moses. Not as Moses.
Amen.
Not as Moses. Not as Moses. Which put a veil over his face. We use plain speech. We tell people the full gospel. We share the Jesus Christ to everyone. We tell them that Jesus Christ died for their sins. But not as Moses. We do not put a veil over our face to hide it. We do not compromise. That not there says God was not pleased with that. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. Not that way. Now the second veil that we want to talk about is the veil of the temple. And the veil of the temple is a beautiful thing. The veil of the temple is mentioned over in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 2 through 8. Well, it's mentioned all throughout the Old Testament. But Hebrews 9 gives us a beautiful picture of the veil. It says the tabernacle was prepared. The first part, which had the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. But behind the second veil, the part of the temple, which is called the holiest of all. Now, the veil of the temple was a veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of where people could go. And that veil symbolized something. It symbolized the sin that stands between us and God. The high priest was allowed to go into that Holy of Holies once a year. He could part the veils whenever he had blood, the blood of the Lamb, and he could carry it through that veil and he could make sacrifice for the people. But that veil of the temple is very interesting. Because it stood there to remind us what God says in Isaiah 59. It says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated him from you, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. The veil symbolized the sin of the people. And it was only the blood of the Lamb that could pierce that veil. On the day that Jesus Christ died on that cross, Matthew 27, verses 50 and 51 says, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split.
Amen.
On that day, Jesus' blood made payment for the sins of every one of us.
Amen.
And that veil was ripped that day to show us something. There is nothing that stands between us and God now if we're in Christ.
Amen.
Every prayer is heard because we're in Christ. Because of the blood of the Lamb, we have access to God and God has access to us.
Amen.
And what a wonderful, wonderful thing that is. You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, that God would make a covenant with his people. And he said, I will put my laws into their hearts. And in their minds I will write them. And he says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Because where there's remission of these sins, there is no longer offering for sin.
Amen.
Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil. That is, through his flesh.
Amen.
Jesus pierced that veil for us. And he stands as our mediator between us and God every time we come to God. Jesus is with us always. Isn't that good?
Amen.
I love that. Don't you?
Amen.
The Bible says because we have a high priest that's over the house of God, not under the house of God, over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, and hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Jesus is faithful. God is faithful.
Yeah.
Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
God is faithful. So we have the veil of the temple. But then there's one more veil. And it's a terrible veil. It is the veil of unbelief. In verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 3, he says, but their minds were blinded. Their minds were blinded. For unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Jesus Christ took away the veil of the temple. He took away the veil of sin that stands between us and God. But the life, the mind, veiled with unbelief, that will not hear God, that will not hear Christ, it can't be blessed. He says that veil still stands there. When we get to the next chapter, we're going to find out that it is the devil who brings that veil on people. That he has ministers that do that. And we're going to have we're going to find out that these people, they preach things that are not supposed to be preached and do things that are not supposed to be done. But God says that we're continuing to preach the gospel and plant that seed. I can't make someone understand the gospel of salvation. And I can't draw the veil away. But if they will look to Christ, God, Christ can take that veil away. He's the only one that can. He's the only one that can. So we continue preaching him. I want to end up in verse 18. He says, but we all with open face. Now don't stop. Don't jump over that. We all with open face. What does that mean? If you look it up in the original, he says, we all with unveiled faces. There's no unbelief in our faces. We behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. We have not unbelief here. We look at the Lord with faith in our eyes. And we trust him. And trusting him, look what it says in verse 18. We are changed into the same image. What image? The image of Christ. Just as Moses was transformed. Why was Moses' face shining? Because he looked on Christ.
Amen.
And because he looked on Christ, it transformed his face. When we look on Christ, it transforms our face.
Amen.
And he says this, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, that makes me feel good. Because what he tells me in that is this, that if I keep on looking at Jesus, then God's going to keep on transforming me.
Amen.
And he's going to keep working in us until we become more and more like Jesus.
Amen.
And is there any better way to be?
Amen.
You know, when I was a little boy, I wanted to grow up and be a lot of things. One time I wanted to grow up and be a fireman, but then I met Tony and found out that's not a real fun thing to do sometimes. But now that I'm older, you know what I want to grow up to be? Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what you want to grow up to be too, is Jesus. You want to be like Jesus in everything you do. You want to be like Jesus in everything you see. You want to be like Jesus in all that you do. If Moses had kept the veil off of his face, perhaps someone had been changed. Let's keep the veil off of our face. Let's shine for the Lord. And let's shine and trust God and keep on planting the gospel seed, because God is able to make a difference. Amen.
Amen.
Jerry, you want to lead us in a final hymn? I like your shirt. I like that. I like that red. It pops.
Everybody worked like the two of them. We saw the Ohio State on it, and then I got disrespected.
Well, I don't keep up with sports, but I like it. It looks good.
Go with me to number 305. We'll do verses 1 and 2. 305.